Welcome to the Council of Better Business Bureaus podcast, The Bistro, where we will discuss today's hottest consumer trends, predict the future with consumer experts, and learn how elite businesses and entrepreneurs continue to push the envelope in today's marketplace.
Welcome to The Bistro podcast. I'm your host, Elaine Espinola. When you think of augmented and virtual reality, visions of high-tech headsets, sensory gloves, or video games may come to mind. While this fast emerging technology has definitely enhanced the entertainment industry, it has also provided consumers with new digital tools that are disrupting the financial services industry too. Today, we're discussing the technological innovation in and automation of the financial sector. Our guest will walk us through advances in financial literacy, the streamlining of wealth management, retail banking, money transfers, and mobile payments, and how AR and VR is reshaping modern consumer experiences in fintech. JC Kwong, devices and platform analyst with Greenlight Insights, a global leader in virtual and augmented reality market intelligence, is joining us today. With offices in San Francisco, Boston, and Denver, we really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today, JC.
I really appreciate you having me. I'm very excited for the opportunity to talk about this stuff. I very rarely just get to vamp about, you know, with an exciting new sector.
It is very exciting. And JC, to start with, can you tell us a little bit about Greenlight Insights and just also give us a general overview of what augmented and virtual reality is for anyone who doesn't know?
Sure. So first of all, Greenlight Insights is a intelligence firm. We're, as you mentioned, based in San Francisco, Denver, and Boston. Our specialty is providing syndicated market research and intelligence services for any number of companies in the virtual and augmented reality space. We actually internally and in our research refer to this entire group of technologies as XR, which stands for variable reality. That's sort of an easy catch-all to describe all these technologies, which to some degree supersede your senses, you know, your sight, your sound, and all that stuff, and help you interact with computers in a certain way. I think right now it's a very exciting time for XR. There's been a lot of advances in hardware that have previously been used in smartphones that have made XR much more viable, even at the consumer level. You know, mm-hmm. You could right now go to Walmart and pick up a virtual reality headset for $200. You can download any number of augmented reality apps to use on your smartphone absolutely free. And that's, you know, due in part to these advances in smartphone hardware, but also in part due to the excitement from these greater platform providers, you know, the smartphone manufacturers and the social media sites and all this stuff, who have understood that this is going to be a big part of how we interact with computers in the future.
Sure. So we can see that has certainly emerged and enhanced in the last few decades, even. Regarding the financial services sector, what current technologies are disrupting the traditional financial services?
So over at Greenlight, we, in the vast majority of the new XR technology that's being adopted and doing a lot of the disruption in financial services and even e-commerce, is serving one of two purposes. The first is reducing the friction in any kind of transactional experience by automating or streamlining as much of the process as possible. Usually this is achieved through some form of computer vision. This is the term that we use when we talk about the ability of a machine to take in data from a camera or some kind of like optical sensor and interpret it without the help of a human. Mm-hmm. You might call it a subsection of AI even. This is the key software function that sort of powers most of what we consider augmented reality today. But it also helps everything from a supercomputer at a data center somewhere to the computer in your smartphone to recognize surfaces, lines, shapes, which is helpful, you know, from mundane tasks like remote deposit, which you might be familiar with,
yeah,
to some really more advanced features dealing with biometric recognition and maintaining a deeper level of security for your stuff. And the second use of immersive technology is data visualization, really efficient data visualization. So there are a lot of parts of finance, even at the consumer level, that can be extremely challenging for people to navigate. You know, we're talking, you have investments, certain financial sectors have ways of presenting information to you that maybe is not the most efficient or the most intuitive, right? Talking about, you know, really complicated graphs and tables and charts and that sort of thing. We're seeing now that XR is a helpful supplement to that, in that you can explore data by being immersed in it. And that new perspective affords you a lot of, you know, extra breathing room and makes, you know, the information a lot more digestible for people.
Sure, sure. Almost empowering consumers, if you will, or just regular people in understanding their sort of the traditional financial services,
absolutely,
right? Going to a bank versus having this data in front of you. And now being able to, as you said, sort of explore it further and understand it better, mm-hmm, which empowers them, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Can you share some specific examples of applications of virtual reality in fintech?
Yeah, absolutely. So going off of that example that I just mentioned, there was a very interesting application that I think is currently in a pilot phase right now. Fidelity Investments, who are actually based, I believe, right here out of Boston where I am, their experimental innovation lab is developing, in partnership with Amazon Web Services, what they're calling a virtual chart room. So not only does that, you know, everything I was talking about before with the immersive data visualization and giving you a new perspective on your finance and your information and that sort of thing, but they've also incorporated a virtual assistant. So it's an AI sort of agent that dies in the space with you, and you can instruct it to sort of give you specific numbers or figures about, you know, pretty much anything that you could bother asking, you know, like how are my indexes doing today, right? Something really natural and easy to process like that.
Sure.
And we think that's an extremely powerful tool for people, especially once the part becomes a little bit more commonplace in the home.
Sure, sure. That kind of leads me to the next question, which is, and thanks for sharing that example, what are some of the implications for consumers as far as benefiting financially from these scalable digital tools, like the example you shared?
Yeah. That's the key question, right, that a lot of people are thinking about, is how they can benefit financially from some of these tools. I think for most people, I think the apparent value might not necessarily come from, you know, reaping, you know, cash flow or income or anything like that from it. But I think it is immensely valuable in enhancing our ability to engage with the information much more quickly and much more efficiently than we ever thought possible. Like you mentioned earlier, it's all about empowering people. You know, I think it helps us, it makes us better at dealing with the really sort of information dense landscape that's inside our phones and computers. I think especially in here in the U.S., we could all probably be a little bit data literate. By using this immersive technology, we can sort of skirt that a little bit and, you know, have more intuitive ways of interacting with our financial information, let's say, or really any kind of information that you could quantitatively arrange.
Sure. You know, that kind of gives me, well, the first thing I think about is, again, maybe benefiting financially if they're educated enough on all of this data that's in there. So my question is, how would regular consumers sort of educate themselves about some of these sort of digital tools and how they can work to their benefit, you know?
That's a great question. And really more than anything else, about educating yourself on, first of all the technologies that are out there and that are available to you. I think certainly there are certain financial institutions that have been a little bit better about integrating this technology into their workflows. Mm-hmm. You know, Fidelity obviously is a little ahead of the game on that one. I remember back in 2014, I think it was Bank of America that rolled out in limited locations video conferencing. So that was another sort of interesting thing that we might see come back if you know, depending on the direction that the market takes.
Sure.
I think it's also important for people to remember that, you know, in a very sort of data-heavy world that we live in now, it's important to understand what data you're giving to your financial institution, what you're providing them with, how they're using it, and what you get in return.
Right.
I think that's something else that's going to really help you become empowered and reap the most value out of any service that you have.
Sure, sure. So just being, you know, educated around protecting yourself, as you mentioned, kind of what data you're sharing, as we are, you know, inundated with tons of information and data that helps make things easier for us. It also, you know, could leave consumers kind of open with all of their information at their own fingertips, right? If they're doing things that they would have normally done, you know, with an wealth management investment person, right? Now they're doing it themselves on their phone, for example, or their laptop,
right.
And their information is out there. So they need to kind of be aware with what they're doing with that. Really great examples. Thank you. JC, as we wrap up here, can you share some sort of general predictions for trending virtual reality and augmented reality in fintech? I'm wondering, will traditional banking become obsolete?
That's a good question, and I think it's fair to, before we even start to answer it, to ask what traditional banking is anymore, right?
Good point.
Because in the last few years, we've seen the rise of, alongside the rise of the internet, a lot of, for example, online-only banks, you know, the allies of the world, so to speak. Pre-internet financial institutions have certainly come a long way already in terms of enriching their offerings with this technology, you know, things I've mentioned before. I think once adoption of the hardware picks up, especially over the next 3 to 4 years, and that's both, you know, these simple virtual reality headsets that are available now to, you know, something much more forward facing, like augmented reality smart glasses that can be, you know, worn all the time, and they're a supplement or eventually a substitute for smartphones.
Wow.
I think we could really see fintech and e-commerce make the jump to XR just as it made the jump to smartphones, you know, over the last 5 years ago.
Sure.
We know that the tech companies and the platform providers see value in bringing this new form of computing to life. And I think it's just a question of teasing out what parts of the traditional banking experience work in XR and what parts don't. So, for example, the immersive data visualization is probably really compelling. You know, maybe that's even an upsell for early adopters of the technology. Meanwhile, maybe interacting in the way that we've been doing, you know, via text and typing on computers and smartphones, probably doesn't work super well in XR. If you've ever been in a headset, you know, it's really agonizing to have to type with a remote control, essentially.
Right.
So I think maybe some of these fintech companies might make the effort to add voice interfaces and, you know, some sort of rebuild a little bit of that sociality and trust, frankly, that they need with their customers.
Sure. Well, certainly a very exciting time, and I'm feeling like the Jetsons lifestyle may be here before we know it, or maybe it's here now slowly. But this has really been a cool conversation. We really appreciate your insights. JC, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate
it. Thank you.
Sure. Can you share? Absolutely. Can you share your website with our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're ever in need to learn more about XR technology, you can visit greenlightinsights.com, and we've got lots of insights there to share with you.
Excellent. Well, we hope our listeners do just that. Thank you again. I'm Elaine Espinola, host of the Bistro Podcast. We thank you for listening today, and you can hear more great episodes on iTunes. Just search The Bistro. Until next time, it has been my pleasure discussing better business and financial technology with you.
You just enjoyed the Bistro Podcast. Be sure to tune in next month for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com, and subscribe. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the Better Business Bureau, Council of Better Business Bureaus, or program affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.